Birute Galdikas, the world's foremost expert on orangutans, about the challenges the great apes face trying to survive in a rapidly changing environment. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, and the time now is just 10 o'clock. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Improvisation Summit of Portland, Friday, June 30th from 5 to 11 p.m., and Saturday, July 1st from 3 to midnight at Disjecta in Portland. The Improvisation Summit is an annual music and movement festival presented by the Creative Music Guild. This year, the summit features artists like Andrea Klein, Sage Fisher with Institute for Creative Dying and Andy Rayborn, Andrew Durkin's Breath of Fire, and many more performers and artists. Again, that's the Improvisation Summit of Portland, Friday, June 30th from 5 to 11 p.m. and Saturday, July 1st from 3 to midnight at Disjecta Contemporary Arts Center, 8371 North Interstate Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Since I lost you, I can't get through the day without at least one big boo-hoo. The pain won't go away. What am I gonna do? Man from Mars, this time you went too far. I fall apart. Time you went too far. I call and call. The silence is so full of sounds. You're in them all. I hear you in the water and the wiring in the walls. Man from Mars, this time you went too far.
Can you read that?
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Monday, June 26, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, your whistleblower radio, and I mean this, seriously, maybe it's our Reichstag radio at 90.7 FM on the app, KBOO.FM everywhere. I'm referring to an article that appeared recently in Harper's by Marsha Gessen. It's called the next Reichstag has really actually already happened. We have the Patriot Act to prove it. We have FISA courts to back that up. It's likely that that marches in the future might march us straight into a very difficult situation and do little good. And completely new strategies clearly required under the prevailing circumstances. We've got an extraordinary guest on today. The big news, of course, is that no surprise to anybody, Trump got his way. There was a unanimous vote on the part of the Supreme Court, and a marvelous takeaway from that is Monday's order, quote that from the New York Times. Monday's order was issued in an unsigned opinion on behalf of the entire court. Justices were not required to reveal their votes, so it is unclear if the ruling was truly unanimous. Bang, that's it. I mean, the majority of the court was needed to reinstate the ban in part and hear arguments in the fall. All right. Well, we'll see. By the fall, we may be experiencing the full frontal effects of a Reichstag event. And I am not kidding. And neither is Marsha Gessen. You cannot get a stronger voice there. We are continuing. We are so fortunate today. Frederick Oberlander is joining us again. Anybody who saw the Zembla video out of the Netherlands on what already has been uncovered about Donald Trump's dubious associates, and it should know the name Felix Satir by now. And it's only a matter of following a very clearly laid out map that Frederick Oberlander, his associate, I believe Michael Lerner, and others have put together through exhaustive investigation. It's all there. It's more than enough to indict Donald Trump. The evidence is available. Fred's joining us now. Thank you so much for being with us today. Very short notice, but we were speaking earlier this morning, and if we could just take up that conversation again.
Well, to be fair about it, let's be very clear. It's a lot easier to indict somebody than it is to convict them. And normally, in the normal world, most prosecutors don't indict people that they aren't certain that they convict unless they're trying to force them to give evidence against someone else. As a legal expert, based on the facts we know, is there enough evidence to indict Mr. Trump for racketeering conspiracy and the component crimes? Absolutely, yes. Is there enough to convict them? That's very interesting, and I don't know that I'd go that far at all, but there's certainly enough to indict. If there's enough to indict, there's enough to investigate seriously. So that's that. Number two is what your listeners might want to understand is for thousands of years it's been understood that we don't let people investigate themselves. One of the most famous epic poems ever written by Virgil thousands of years ago, the famous Latin line, quis custodiet custodes ipsos, means, but who will guard the guards themselves? That's particularly relevant today because a very great many people who are involved in the investigation of Mr. Trump are coming out of the Eastern District of New York or similar circles where the whole problem started. And the whole problem started because a gentleman named Mr. Sater, Felix Sater, was cooperating with the government. We don't know what he was doing, don't particularly care. But he wasn't supposed to be committing any crimes, except he was. He was committing all kinds of crimes centered about the concealment of his conviction when he had a duty to disclose it. And in the process of committing those crimes, such as bank fraud, by obtaining loans without disclosing the truth about himself when he was at Bayrock, other people got involved too. Now, you don't become criminally liable just because you're having a beer with somebody, but you will become criminally liable if you know what that guy is doing and help him do it. So if I am a real estate developer and I want to partner up with somebody that has the capital and I have no idea that he's funneling in dirty money, well, okay, gee, my bad. On the other hand, if I find out that he is or that he is taking money from banks under false pretenses, and I don't walk away, and I don't turn it into the FBI, and I sit there and not only take my share of the profit, but continue to facilitate the enterprise, I'm in trouble. It's called conspiracy. It's been around as long as there's been crime. And therefore, what we have is a situation that because Mr. Sater was allowed to commit those crimes under the nose of the government, and Mr. Trump was involved with Mr. Sater, the moment you can show that Mr. Trump knew or deliberately put his head in the sand about what was going on and kept on involvement, that's when he becomes liable for indictment. Senator Wyden, for example, I understand is investigating this now. And so is the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, from what I read, what Rachel Maddow says. I'm not keyed into Washington. But the bottom line is that if you know that your business partner is doing really bad stuff, and you don't walk away, turn them in, get out of there, but stand there and take your share of the loot and help them do it, you're going to be in the adjoining cell. I can't make it any clearer than that. And the problem here is that Mr. Sater was committing those crimes with the full knowledge of the United States Attorney's Office in the Eastern District. And the gentleman there who was at the beginning of this running the prosecutorial division of that district was Andrew Weissman, who has been retained by Mr. Mueller to head the fraud investigation.
Oh.
Mr. Weissman could be a very nice man, but we have a standard in this country. I'm sorry, am I cutting you off?
No, excuse me. That's extraordinarily, yes.
Well, the problem is this. I don't want to defame him because I don't know him. But here's in 1 minute, if you can give me a minute, what your listeners should understand. This is all public record. Mr. Sater was given a cooperation agreement. It's public. It's available online. Google it. You'll find it. In the cooperation agreement, like all of them, he agrees that he will not commit any crimes of any kind while he's cooperating. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that one is signed by Weissman, at least in one document. As if it's not that, it's the proffer. But in any event, the point is that they knew he was committing crimes. As we're speaking right now, about a dozen of us, with several different lawyers, including my partner, Mr. Lerner, are all in federal court in the Eastern District, demanding that a document be unsealed, which is Felix Sater's pre-sentencing report from 2004, because that document contains the admission of his probation officer that he knew that Felix Sater's conviction had been hidden from everybody at Bayrock, which presumably means it would have been hidden from all the banks and investors. And he sat there and didn't care, from what we can tell. That's got to go public so that everyone can see this. Bottom line is they let this guy get away with crimes without realizing that one of the people in the middle of it would turn out to be the President of the United States.
We have the to go on that note. They're putting up the music. I don't know if you could hear it in the background, but we have to take this up. This is This is exactly what listeners, yes, heads up everybody, because
the issue is, remember, it's an appearance of impropriety.
This is,
Mr. Weissman could be completely honest. I really don't know. The issue is, why is he the only one out of 300 million people we can find? And now we got a lawyer with clients worrying about that. Can't we find somebody from St. Louis or San Francisco that wasn't involved? That's,
yes,
the point.
That's what people need to really pay close attention to going forward. Fred, thank you many, many times over for this. Hope we can talk with you again with a little bit more notice. Thanks so much. My guest has been, of course, Frederick Oberlander, the chief investigator and lawyers investigating Donald Trump's connections to some of these guys. This has been